why the Jews should not be expelled from Venice and its land territories. Apparently, there had been a threat of expulsion. The Jews had lived in Venice for several centuries. They'd created a remarkable international trade. They were important as merchants, as moneylenders, as bankers. They were a vital part of the economy of Venice. And now someone had threatened to kick them out. The rabbi, instead of going to pray or to meditate, decides to pick up a pen and to express himself in eloquent Italian and to write to his contemporaries and to say to them, look, you guys are making a big mistake. This is why the Jews should be left in Venice, because we belong here, because we've contributed to this culture, both economically, socially, and culturally. And therefore, I will write this work. This course offers cogent economic and political arguments why Jews should remain in the city and how they have contributed to the culture of Venice. Indeed, Rabbi Luzzatto succeeds in encouraging his fellow Venetians to forget about this expulsion edict, and he succeeds in his work of anti-defamation to convince the public of the utility of the Jews for Venice, and the crisis is abated. All right, that's the first scene. Think of a rabbi writing such a political statement, using economic and political arguments to defend Jewish rights in Venice in the early part of the 17th century. Scene number two. In 1624, about 14 years, exactly 14 years earlier, a man by the name of Joseph Chamitz graduates from the medical school of Padua. And his teacher, another renowned Venetian rabbi, Leon Modena, makes him a party. Now, a few words of explanation. Padua was the university where Venetian nobles went to school. In other words, it was part of the Veneto, those land areas of Venice. Padua was the great university. It was the great university of science and medicine in the 15th and 16th century, and even in the 17th century during its decline. It was one of the great places to be. It was the Harvard or Yale, or I should say Penn, university culture throughout all of European civilization. Clearly, Jews attending the university is a novel endeavor. There are rumors of Jews attending universities during the medieval period, for example, in Montpellier in France. But generally, we know that the first Jews to be allowed to attend a nominal Catholic university was in Padua. And therefore, what emerges at the end of the 16th century are hundreds of Jewish kids entering the university. Now, where do you go to school in a Catholic university? You have a department of theology. You have a department of law. Both of them are colored with Christian theology. Law means canon law. The only neutral place you can study is medicine. And therefore, you enter the medical faculty. What emerges from the 16th century on are several hundred graduates of the university, and later on other Italian universities, and later on other European universities, graduating in medicine. The emergence of a kind of collective body of Jewish students who are engaged in secular education through the study of medicine. Chamitz was one of them. Modena, his teacher, published a pamphlet of Hebrew poems written by many Jewish cultural leaders and Paduan graduates. Remarkable achievement. Very interesting also that they should celebrate this young man graduating from the university by writing Hebrew poems. I'm not saying they were good Hebrew poems, but they were poems written by doctors, by former graduates of Padua and so on, celebrating this great moment. The event thereby symbolized the larger reality of talented Jewish students attending this Catholic university, entering the medical field. And through their education, which included both the humanities and the science, this was a humanistic education, Latin and Latin texts, along with the medical and the scientific texts, coming out and serving as doctors throughout Italy and throughout all of Europe. In other words, this particular intellectual elite, which is shaped by the university, is clearly a new thing.